I'll be reading from the New King James, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35-39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here, and we do have a number of people visiting with us. Some of you for the first time, we're glad to have you here and hope that you enjoy your time worshiping God with us, that we're an encouragement to you, and that you'll come back if you're in this area. And if you're visiting and you live in the area, we'd love to have you worship with us on a regular basis. If you'll talk to us, we'll be glad to speak with you after services about that subject. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers, by the way. If you'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock, I'll give you a special gift, a lesson on fathers. So think about that, and I hope you come back at that time. If you expected that this morning, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I think this lesson is a little more pressing, the lesson on endurance. Sean did a good job reading Hebrews 10, 35-39. I appreciate John Gorham's songs. It's always interesting to watch our song leaders get the title of a sermon and, if possible, work songs that fit in with that. He did a real good job with that, as the song leaders generally and usually do. But think about what the inspired writer, I believe it's the Apostle Paul. If you disagree, I don't mind you disagreeing with me. I just hate for you to be wrong about it. But in Hebrews 10:36, he said, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And in verse 35, he said, "Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." So the question is, and the application is, have you ever thought about quitting? And the answer should be, yes, you have. We all have. The Hebrew writer is talking to Christians who are thinking about quitting Christianity. That's what he's talking about. Don't cast away your confidence because it has great reward. Well, why would they do that? I don't know. There's a lot of reasons given, and there's a lot of warnings about that, but it's a lesson that we all need to think about from time to time. People get tired of fighting against the world. We get tired of fighting against sin. We get tired of fighting against society. We get tired of going against the grain all the time, and it gets wearisome and tiring. And after a while, we think, oh, I just give up, I quit. I'm just going to join the crowd. I'm going to have life and enjoy it for a little while, and hopefully when I die, that's all there'll be to it, and life will come to an end. Well, Paul's writing to Christians who are thinking about giving up too. And sometimes we say, well, the easy answer to that is, if you had more faith, you wouldn't even think about that. Really? Did Elijah have a little faith or a great faith? Elijah had a great faith, and yet he thought on one occasion about giving up, didn't he? Jeremiah was a tremendous prophet of God. He is respected highly by us and by the Jewish nation of Jesus' day, but not while he was alive. And Jeremiah said, I give up. I'm not going to speak at all or teach in the Lord's name ever again. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Well, wouldn't you if you'd been treated like Jeremiah? Called a traitor, thrown in prison, thrown in dungeons, threatened his life. Wouldn't you think about quitting if people treated you like that? So, yes, we think about it. And besides that, sometimes we think about quitting other things. I'm going to quit my job. Well, that's okay, because if you can find another one, you can quit your job. Others say, I'm going to give up on my marriage. It's not worth it. I'm going to give up on life. How many people do you read about in society, especially among young people, who give up early in life and commit suicide? So you see, it's a real problem, and all of us have that application to us. So if you've ever thought as a Christian about giving up, this lesson is for you. The Apostle Paul said, you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. But don't we get tired of waiting for the pie in the sky, as the world calls it? Oh, you Christians, you're a bunch of nuts. You know, if you do like I do, you get your pie now. You get a nice car and a nice house, a nice bank account, and everybody thinks the world of you, and you can be Mr. Macho Man, and everybody respects you, and you can have your honor and your praise now. Fine, but what happens when you die? Oh, I'm just going to die. That's all there is to it. And after a while, we begin to wonder, maybe they've got a point. Well, there is the temptation to quit. And this verse doesn't help any. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22. Now, yes, I know Jesus spoke that to the apostles, but what's true of the apostles is true of us. Jesus made sure they understood what they were getting into. If they've killed me, they'll kill you. If they've hated me, they will hate you. If they've kept my word, they'll keep your word too. Was that sent to discourage the apostles? Say, you know, you guys need to quit. No, but Jesus said you need to understand that this is something that is for life. It's not something you do for a little while and then quit on. You've got to be faithful to the Lord all of your life. And when you read that verse, you don't think, oh, great, this is going to be loads of fun. But the danger is very real. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What do you mean, if? Isn't once you become a Christian, all there is to it, and you just kind of go to church and everything's good till you die? Wouldn't that be nice? But anybody who's been a Christian very long knows that the role of people who have been faithful Christians in the past, if they were all here today, this building wouldn't hold them. That the reality of it is that we convert a lot of people, and over the years they fall away one by one, or sometimes in groups, and they quit and they give up. And there's lots of reasons for it. Sometimes they lose their faith. Sometimes their faith was not very strong. Sometimes the pleasures of life are more than they can bear. I'd rather enjoy the sinful pleasures of life than to enjoy eternity with God, because I'm not sure there is a heaven or hell. Some give up because they're not sure they can make it throughout their Christian life. And so there's lots of reasons why, but the danger is real. Again, look at Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You think Paul is talking about things that never happened? No, he's talking about that, and it's very obvious that that's the problem. And we grow envious of the wicked and their apparent easy lifestyle. We begin to look at everything they've got, and it's like, if I could just be like them and still go to heaven, that'd be worth it. Well, in Psalm 73, Asaph said the same thing. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why did you nearly quit, Asaph? Because it said, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, they have more than they could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. I nearly quit because I saw how good the bad people have it. And do you think that was just a passing thought? In verse 16, he says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. It is serious. We're talking about life and death, heaven and hell, eternity. Those are heavy things. Why do preachers like Elijah and Jeremiah and preachers today think about quitting? because there's no heavier burden that rests upon a man's soul than the eternal welfare of somebody or a bunch of somebodies. And so preachers sometimes give up. They see the same thing Asaph did. They say, I don't see that it's worth it. They don't suffer like I do. They don't do without like I do. They have it good. Asaph said in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. They've got it good and they're wicked and I do the right thing and look what I get for it. And that hasn't changed over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. So we desire the good life without any burdens, without any headaches, without any chores, without any rules. You know why atheism is so prominent today? It's because you can do whatever you want to do and there are no consequences. And so people buy into that. It's like, well, that sounds great. I think I'll take a dose of that. But here's the question we need to answer, and that is, why not quit? The Hebrew writer said, don't quit because you have need of hanging on to the great reward. But here's why, when it's crossed my mind, I haven't quit as a Christian nor as a gospel preacher, though it's crossed my mind on both counts more than once. You know, I've talked with other preachers about this, and I've had a few come up and tell me, well, I've never thought about quitting. I don't know if I believe that or not. It's like, I thought about it so many times, I can't believe you never did. Of course, it's kind of like marriage. You ever meet a couple that says, oh, we never fight? Well, what is it you call what you do? And I really met a couple of people that actually never fight. It's like, I don't understand that. Maybe they both hate fighting so much they just get along somehow. And that's great. I'm envious of that. Emily and I never fight. I just let her have her way all the time. And Emily's over here saying, I object. With tongue in cheek, I tell people we don't have any problems because when we got married, I tell everybody, if anything goes wrong, it's Emily's fault. She says, why is that? I said, because if it's not your fault, it's my fault. And nothing's my fault. And she says, okay, so we don't fight anymore. Just blame her. Now, why not quit? Well, because 1 second after death, you will regret it. Amen. That's the real motivating factor for me. I don't care what anybody says or thinks or does or believes or teaches or anything else. 1 second after death, they're going to regret it. In Luke 16:23, the rich man who fared sumptuously every day and had the finest clothes and enjoyed life woke up and he found himself in torments. And the torments word in the Greek means to torture, to suffer, severe pain. It's not going to be a picnic, and so that's the reason why you should not quit. Number two, you will lose your great reward. Hebrews 10:35. It's not a little reward, it's a great reward. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, yet he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, nothing's changed. They had the issues in Paul's day. They had the issues in Jeremiah's day. They had the issue in Elijah's day. God knew it all along, and he said, life is a test, and you're going through the test now, and you'll find out whether you make it or whether you fail. And we all have that test every single day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and then 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul talks about the challenges of his life as a Christian and as an apostle and as a gospel preacher and how difficult that was, but what sustained him through all of that. Well, he tells us in these verses. Verse 4, for in this we groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Paul says, I don't want to die and throw off this body. I want this body to become immortal so I can live forever. And in verse 6, he said, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, Paul knew that 1 second after death, everything that he fought for and everything that he suffered for and everything that he taught for and everything he remained faithful for was going to be worth it. I cannot afford to quit. And number 3, you'll miss out on the day when the wicked will finally be envious of the righteous. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 talks about Jesus Christ coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know the Lord and those who do not obey the gospel. But he says it will be when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Glorified and admired. The word admire means wonder. It'll be a wondrous thing for God's faithful, righteous people to see Christ coming again. And so you just don't give up. You might think about it. You might be tempted. But you just can't afford to do it. It's not worth it. So the question then is, if we have need of endurance, if that's what we take to solve the problem, and that's what the Hebrew writer said is the solution to the problem, then the only other question is, how do I get it? How do I become one who endures? How do I hang on? You know, that word appears numerous times in the New Testament, as we might expect. Well, he says you have need of endurance, so that means we have to learn it. How do you learn endurance? Well, here's the bad news. One way is you learn endurance by suffering. Somebody says, oh, I was afraid of that one. Yeah, me too. Romans 5 and verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Patience, perseverance, endurance. It's the same Greek word. How do you learn patience if you're not suffering? How do you learn to endure if you don't have a challenge? You don't sit on the couch watching TV with a newspaper in your hand and your wife and kids supplying everything you need at every blink of an eyeball and say, oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. It doesn't work that way. I'm learning endurance. Oh, it's so hard. Bring me another Coca-Cola, honey. Doesn't work that way, does it? Don't we wish it did? But no, the more we suffer for what is right and for righteousness' sake, the better we learn and we develop a character that goes along with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure. Not exactly what you were looking for, is it? Not the easy road that you hoped for. But again, you have to learn through suffering because it's worth it. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. John said, I'm suffering and you're suffering too. But we're both enduring in the patience of the Lord. Revelation 13:10, after he describes a horrible persecution that the early church would go through, he says in that passage, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What does that mean? What that means is those who lead a carnal life will die a carnal death. And those who lead a spiritual life will enjoy eternal spirituality. And that keeps us enduring. It's worth it in the long run. We've got to keep it in mind. Paul's attitude is found in Romans chapter 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He said, I do not consider that the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think about those words, because that becomes a mantra for me. I do not consider that the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared to glory. However bad suffering as a Christian might be, it's nothing compared to the glory that God will give you after a while. For one thing, no matter how bad you suffer, it's coming to an end. But the glory not only will be glorious, but it will be eternal. That alone makes it worthwhile. The only challenge is, while I'm going through this earthly life of testing, is can I keep my mind on the goal, keep my eye fixed on the prize, and not cast away my confidence, which has great reward? That's the challenge every Christian faces, and not every Christian endures. In fact, way too many fall by the wayside, and what a sad thing. But think about the contrast. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus told his disciples, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Tremendous contrast. And so there's no other way to learn endurance than to suffer through it. We also learn endurance by faith. Count it all joy, James said in chapter 1 and verse 2, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience, endurance. The Greek word is hupomone. Hupo means to bear up under the suffering. It's interesting, when you're talking about putting up with people, the word is long-suffering. You're long-suffering toward people, but you endure things like trials and tribulations and pain and anguish and depression and sadness and disappointment and heartbreak. You endure those things, and that's the difference the Bible makes. So endurance perfects or completes our faith, James says. So the more we suffer, the greater our faith is. And the greater your faith is, the more you're willing to suffer, because the two go together. A weak faith isn't worth anything, is it? A faith that quits at the first disappointment isn't a faith. It's not worth one having, but not everybody wakes up on Sunday morning and says, I've got great faith. No, you don't. We all have to learn it. We all have to practice it. We all have to keep on studying and then putting into our lives the practice that makes us endure. It's something that we have to learn, and it's not an easy thing, but James says your attitude should be glad you're doing it. Why? Because it makes it worthwhile. A third way we learn endurance is we learn it in hope. Go back to Romans chapter 5 with me for a moment, and listen to the Apostle Paul, where he says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. But he says, not only that, but we know that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. The longer you live on earth, no matter how good a life you live, you're going to get old and die. All the young people today say, yeah, but it's going to be a long, 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 long time before I look like you. And us old folks are saying, no, it's not. It's going to go by a whole lot faster than you ever dreamed of. Wait till you hit 21. I remember when I was a teenager, I thought, if I could be 21, I'd be mature and an adult. Hit 21, it's like, you know, is that all there is to being 21? I thought it was better than this. Hit 25, and you know the first thing cross your mind? That's a quarter of a century. Ah. Then you hit 30, and you think, I'm not in my 20s anymore. And the problem with 30 is it's so very close to 40, and everybody's told me 40 is over the hill. And what makes 30 even worse is it doesn't take any time to get to 40. And then it's just downhill from there. It's like a snowball rolling down the bottom of the hill. It's big and it's fast, and you're just hanging on for dear life. And people who are 70 and 80 say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Like, well, I don't want to. So, the longer you live as a Christian, the stronger you get within. Paul said, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. I've seen a lot of very strong in the faith, loyal, dependable, trustworthy Christians who, the older they become, the greater their faith and their character is. It shines forth like a bright beacon everywhere they go. If you've ever been around those kind of people, you know what I'm talking about. They just ooze confidence. They ooze faith. They ooze character. Everybody wants to be around them. They want to talk to them. They want to know, how did you get to be where you are today? And they say, oh, well, you just keep on doing the same thing. Because the greatest quality they have is humility. And it's not near that easy. But you really don't want to sit there for 12 hours while they tell you what all it took them to get where they're at. And they know that, so they keep their mouth shut. Oh, you just be a Christian. You know, that's a rare quality and a rare commodity in this present world because we live in a microwave society. I want to go to heaven, but I want it now. And if I can't get it by pushing the 30-second button, I'm not doing it for a minute. And if you expect 2 minutes, forget it. I'll go to McDonald's, go through the fast window, supersize it on top of that, and have it my way. And we want our Christianity just like that. You know what? There's nothing that your heart can replace hope with. You know why a lot of young people commit suicide? Because they've lost hope. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a prisoner sentenced to death for the rest of your life? And the governor doesn't have the heart to put you to death, so they commute your sentence to life in prison. Joy, joy, joy. You'll never come out alive. Would you prefer that? I know a lot of prisoners who said, give me death because life in prison isn't worth it. They have no hope. If you think that's bad, imagine eternity in hell. In prison, you can get a calendar and mark off one day at a time. And every day you mark off, it's like, that's one less day I have to stay here. But in eternity in hell, you can mark all the calendars you want for now in a billion years, and it's never going to change. It's never going to get closer. It's never going to end. The despair will be permanent and forever. In Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For if you see it, why do you hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. That's what hope is. We know it's not going to come this life. It's not going to come this side of eternity. When the Christian dies from the outward standpoint, he goes to the same funeral home as the atheist does. We don't see a difference. But when the Christian dies, there's a world of difference. If you don't think so, go back and read the Gospel of Luke again, where it says, the rich man died and opened his eyes and was found to be in torments. When righteous Lazarus dies, it says the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. There's a big difference between dying in the arms of Jesus and dying on your own. The eye of faith is what helps you see it. Hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with endurance wait for it. And the last thing that helps us learn endurance is joy. There's joy to it. Not the yippee-yay kind of joy. Not the first joy a child sees the first time he ever sees a Christmas tree with all the presents under the tree with his name on it. Those are good times, but those are temporary joys. This is lasting joy. Colossians 1:11 and 12 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The joy comes from finally developing the patience and the endurance you need. And again, let's remind ourselves of how that came about. How do we get to the point where we have this deep inner joy that says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man's being renewed? I don't consider that the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed to me. How do you get there? And again, the first answer is you got to suffer. Anything worth having is worth suffering for. There's a price to be paid. It's not cheap. It's not easy. It's only free in the sense that God paid the price through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it ought to dawn on all of us that if God had to pay the blood of His Son, Jesus, to redeem us from our sins, that maybe there's a little job for us too. So suffer because, and count it all joy because you know that through your suffering you're learning something. It's building character in you. It's making you stronger. You come out on the other side a better person. So you have to learn through suffering. You have to learn through all these different things. Let me share with you something that is I found on the internet. And it's interesting that all these self-help books all get these qualities out of the Bible. It's like, yeah, I know where they got that. But this article says, when the race seems too long or the hill too steep, here are some reasons never to quit. One of them is the consequences of quitting are a whole lot higher than sticking it out. Think about the consequences of quitting. Another one is when you quit, you set a mental precedent to quit again. And that's one of the worst things you can do is become a quitter. Because once you learn to quit, you take the easy way out, that becomes a habit in your life, and you'd be surprised how many times you can't do something because you keep on quitting. Well, he does it, and he has it easy, and he's got it made. No, he has the quality of endurance that you haven't learned. When you had the chance to learn it, you quit. Anything worthwhile takes time, sacrifice, and effort. Wow. That's some good stuff. Straight out of the Bible. And here's one that we all need to think about when we really get discouraged, because if you're like me, there's some days that are really dark and black and discouraging. Even a big bowl of ice cream won't help. Maybe a piece of watermelon, but you know, ice cream won't do it. And this is the key. You're a lot closer than you think. Somebody says, what does that mean? Well, Paul said that in Romans 13. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. How long do you plan on being here? 80, 85, 90 years. Well, good luck. Most folks don't make it that long. And so we might be closer than we think. So again, you need to suffer. Number two, you need to have a faith. And faith comes by hearing God's word. So in order to suffer as a Christian, it's going to require a lot of mental strength, and that mental strength comes from the eternal Word of God that never changes. Number three, you've got to hope that you're going to heaven. Not wishful thinking, but the hope that says, I believe, and by the grace of God, I know I'm going to heaven. And number four, the real joy that comes from saying, not only am I going to heaven, but when I come to life's end, whether soon or late, I know I have lived a life worthwhile. That's the joy I'm talking about. But you know, there's another number five. And that is viewing the glory. Seeing that glory that's going to come with it. Luke 21:19. By patience possess your souls. Romans 2:7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, immortality. Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God you might receive the promise. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are all surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And James 5:11, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Yeah, but that didn't make Job's job any easier, did it? But he never thought about quitting. Even when his wife said, Job, you're such a miserable bag of bones, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we receive blessings from the Lord and not the difficult times too? The Lord has given and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job got it. It's not about this life. It's not about this situation. It's a test. And are you going to pass the test? Job didn't know why he was suffering. He had some really good friends who said, because you are a sinner. And he said, that's not it. It's something else. They said, no, that's it. He said, no, that's not. He said, yes, it is. No, it's not. If I could find the Lord, I'd argue my case with him. And God finally showed up in a whirlwind and said, excuse me. Who is this fellow who clouds wisdom with a multitude of words? Translation, Job, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. And he didn't. When God got through to Job, Job said, well, shut my mouth. And he did. There's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes than what you and I can see. But we have to be able to see it with the spiritual eye. What does endurance mean? The ability to bear up under all things. You may not always understand why, just like Job, but you've got to do it anyway. Romans chapter 15 talks about the patience of God, the God of all patience. And he doesn't mean in Romans 15:5 that God has all the patience in the world, though he does. But he's talking about the God who will give you patience if you will accept the recipe for it. Job had it. Behold, we count them blessed who endure. You have seen the patience of Job. It is the spirit which can bear things not just with resignation, but with blazing hope. It's the spirit which bears things not because it has to, but because it is leading to a glorious goal. It is the spirit which does not grimly wait for the end, but which radiantly looks forward to the dawn. Endurance is that attitude that says, this life is not all there is. And we should be thankful for it. There's a poem that crossed my mind when I was writing this sermon, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's good for those who may not have. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't have a title, and we don't know the author. But if you look for it on the internet, you'll find it under the words, Don't Quit. So this unknown author wrote this unnamed poem and said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one more blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Isn't that what God says? You have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the crown. And that's my prize and present for you. Notice one more thing. The Hebrew Christians of the book were compared to Abraham because they knew the life of Father Abraham and they could quote his life by memory. The Hebrew writer said, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Isn't that so much like the admonition that he's giving them now? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Have the faith of Father Abraham and stick it out. But what about us? We're not Hebrew Christians. We're not thinking about leaving for the same reasons they did. We don't have Abraham as our earthly father. What about us? Well, we've already talked about that. Luke 16:22, the rich man lifted his eyes up in torment, but righteous Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Don't you want your life to end like that? Don't you want the angels to care for you? Don't you want to be able to say as David did, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me"? 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. Being absent from the body means that we'll be present with the Lord. Death for the Christian is not the end. It's an entrance into eternity and eternal bliss. Philippians 1:23. To depart and be with Christ is far better. And so we have to keep those things in our mind. And when the devil puts doubt in us, when life discourages us, when everyone seems like they're fighting against us, and we sit in that very dark cloud in that very bleak moment when life seems like it is not worth it, you just remember that even though the devil is trying to destroy you, if you look to the everlasting arm of Jesus Christ and the light of his word, it will shine through the darkest moments. And though you don't understand how or why, you just keep on believing and trusting, and tomorrow will become a better day. Finally, let me say this. The words of Adlai Stevenson: "On the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who at the dawn of victory sat down to rest and resting died." You don't want to be that person, do you? So close and yet so far away. There's a beautiful song that we used to sing. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And if you can find the words of that song, it describes the endurance that we've talked about in this lesson. So if you think you're the only one that wants to give up and quit, guess again. If you need somebody to commiserate with you, call me, because I'm thinking about that all the time. But every time I get through thinking about it, I think, that's stupid, that's dumb, that's ridiculous. I haven't suffered nearly as much as Christ or the apostles or even faithful gospel preachers that are a generation removed from me. My father suffered far more as a gospel preacher than I hope to ever suffer in this life. And he didn't quit, and they didn't quit, and God didn't quit on me, and I'm not quitting on the Lord. And I hope and pray that I'll die before I ever give up my faith. I pray that God will end it before that time comes. But I know that today's a test. It's a test for all of us. And the real question is, are you going to do what the Lord wants you to do, regardless of the price, or are you going to give up and quit? Just remember this. If you start quitting in life, then all you'll ever be in life is a quitter. And when you come to life's end, you'll be so, so sorry you quit. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who comes will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone turns back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But brethren, we are not of those who draw back into perdition. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? Amen. May you be that person. And if you haven't begun the Christian life, you can't quit what you hadn't started. begin by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. As you come up out of the waters of baptism, you're a new creature. You're a child of God. You have wonderful privileges and promises. And you have the hope of eternal life. And if you remain faithful till you die, that crown will be yours, and those glories will be yours. And you'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, the sufferings of this present world weren't anything compared to the glory that I now see with my eye. Trust God. It's true. Obey Him. Or if you have quit and you've fallen back and you've let the glitz and the glamour of this world allure you, I understand. But come back to God, because the glory later is far, far greater than the little bit of fun you're having now. Believe it and come back to the Lord while we stand and sing.